We're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn there in your Bibles, and we're going to keep going in this section. Verses 1 through 3, we talked about the introduction to this idea of carnality and how it affects us, and babes in Christ being young or not wanting to grow in the Lord, not wanting to get into His Word, and the results of that in carnality, trying to live from a human standpoint and a fleshly standpoint. As we live our Christian life, and the dangers of that Paul brings out to these believers here in Corinth. And he's continuing to contrast what we would call the spiritual and the natural, the spiritual and the natural. But, and he's going to get into this chapter of how this carnality affects our ministries even in the church. Here's the Corinthians. They had a church, they had ministry and all the things they were doing, but yet this idea of carnality, this mindset of human-centeredness, really was beginning to affect what they were doing in the church. We want to begin to introduce this tonight. So first of all, just by way of quick review, these words that we've been looking at. In chapter 2, verse 14, we talk about the natural man. Now, the psychikos, and the idea that really is living on a human level, just totally human level. And of course, it was very clear, Paul was discussing in verse 14, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He's just someone that has not accepted Christ, someone that's just the things of the Scriptures are completely foreign to him. He doesn't understand them. He looks at them as foolishness. He's just completely living on a human level with no thought or idea of a spiritual world perhaps even existing. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, we are introduced to this babe in Christ, the carnal. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. The sarkinos is the word there, and it's someone that is living their life centered on themselves, centered on the things of humanity that drive them, the things that their urges that they've got to fulfill what their flesh wants in their lives. And again, Paul is very clear here. He's talking to brethren. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. So there was some issues there with growth, with still clinging on to those human mindsets and human thoughts and wanting to even do the ministry of the church in that human mindset. And we're going to see some of the negative effects of that. And then in verse number 3, in verse 2, I fed you with milk, not with meat. You weren't able to bear it. Verse number 3, for ye are yet carnal, a little bit different ending there, sarkikos, which has the idea of unspiritual, just kind of living your life for the own end of that life. You know, kind of, maybe you catch yourself living in a rut. You ever talked about that or thought about that? The ruts of life. We get into those kind of things. We get up and do the same thing we have to do every day. You got to get up at a certain time. You got to get to work at a certain time or whatever your routines are. I know Ben is a man of routines. When he comes down to the restaurant down there, he's got to get there at a certain time. If he doesn't, his whole night is thrown off. He's got the routines. And if Ben doesn't do his routines, the whole place doesn't go very well, does it, Ryan? And we're back there, you know. If Ryan's not there to stack the coleslaw bowls the right way that I like him, the whole evening falls apart. I struggled the last 2 weekends without him. But anyway, you know, you got the routines that we go into. We get like that in our lives even. Sometimes if we're not careful, we just do the same thing. And then the next day, we're going to do the same thing. The next day, the same thing. We're just kind of going through the life and doing the drudgery of life. And we're really kind of, if we're not careful, pursuing life just for life itself, rather than that spiritual mindset or view, and again, not in a high and mighty, I'm better than everybody mindset. We've been dealing a lot about this in Sunday school the last 2 Sundays, but just what, instead of the ruts and the checking of the boxes and all the, oh, we did this, all right, next thing, next thing, next thing. It kind of reminds me sometimes of the hyper-Calvinist that was walking and he fell down a flight of stairs and rolled all the way to the bottom and got up and went, glad that's over. You know, it's a joke. You can laugh. It's all right. But, you know, just, well, we got to get through that one. Whew, glad that's over. And then we go to the next thing. Woo, glad that's over. And if we're not careful, that's a human kind of mindset of, I'm only doing what I'm doing for the purpose of doing what I'm supposed to do in life day after day after day. And Paul is saying that's kind of the unspiritual mindset. It's a carnal mindset. It's a living for what my human nature tells me to do and promotes me to do. And Paul is very clear that there's some negative effects on this. And we're going to get into now some ramifications in the church. If we aren't careful, even as believers like these Corinthians, we're here living, we're serving the Lord, we're in the ministry, all those things that we talk about, we're doing things for the Lord, and you know, things we've been discussing lately. And if I'm doing them from a human approach, if I'm doing them from my self-centeredness, then we're going to have some negative effects even in our ministries of the church. And this happened in the Corinthians, which is why Paul had to write this letter and kind of straighten them out on several ideas here. So the human approach really leads to a couple of things. And I want to read tonight to begin. We'll start back at verse number 3. There's a whole section in this chapter. We're not going to barely begin that. But tonight, let's go ahead and read to about verse number 7. Let's begin in verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. Now, what is the result of that? There's a colon. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal, human-minded? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and we're going to get into that, because human minds like to say, he is something. And Paul's saying, the one that planted is nothing. The one that watered is nothing. Because it is God that giveth the increase. And the human mindset kind of likes to ignore the God part. And it's like, wait a minute now. What's the whole purpose of the church? What's the whole purpose of having a body of believers? It's to edify the body of Christ, to grow in the things of the Lord, to encourage each other, for the Lord to convict our hearts from His Word as well, and for us to grow closer and closer to Him. And when we have this human mindset, instead of growing closer to the Lord, we begin to divide. We begin to have strife and jealousy. And these are two of the big ramifications or consequences of human thinking, at least in the Corinthian church. The first one is this idea of jealousy back in verse number 3. Now, it says envying, strife, and divisions. Now, actually, in the Greek, it's just envying and strife. I don't know where really the word divisions came from. It kind of, I guess, fits in the context of the strife was causing them to separate on things. But it's basically jealousy and strife. So jealousy, what is it? It's a desire for ourself or for man to have a status, to have maybe a possession, to have esteem, and to have honor according to other people. So I'm jealous because maybe someone else has the status, someone else has the possession, someone else is being esteemed, someone else is being honored, and I get upset that I'm not the one being honored, or my group isn't being honored. There's the Paul group over here, and the Apollos group, and the Peter group, and the Christ group. And we're all jealous about what's going on. And we like to, as we've said so many times recently, we like to kind of categorize things, and we fail many times to look at things through the lens of the Scripture. We look at it through the lens of our religious structures, and we begin to judge those certain things and those certain groups and that status and that possession and that esteem and that honor, and we begin bringing this human mindset even into the ministries that God has called us to do. So it breeds this idea of jealousy, and that just leads right to the next one, which is strife. Strife is the expression of that desire. It's the expression of jealousy with active strategies. Okay, that means I don't like that. I wish that was me. I want to be the one honored, or I want to be the one to have this, or I want to be the one to have this status, perhaps. And we begin to think about this, and we get upset about it, and it begins to build, and we start thinking, well, how can I get that? How can we become this? And how can we do this over here? And we begin to have this human mindset of devising and scheming and strategizing to get an advantage for myself, or perhaps maybe the group I'm in, for the example here, the Apollos group or the Paul group. Begin to plan actively. How in the world can we divide, and we're better than this and they're better than that? And if we're not careful, so many times this mindset can come right into our minds, our churches, and it's really, we're walking humanly. You know, and as we're going to point out, we compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise, as we're going to see later in some of Paul's writings. It's not wise to do those things. And if we're not careful, we have, again, as we've mentioned in Sunday school, we've built these systems and these structures, and they're not really truly from the Bible. But we equate the commandments of men with the Bible and these traditions. And then we begin to say, well, I'm in the Paul group, and we do this. And over here, they're in the Peter group. Well, they're not quite as spiritual as we are. And so, we're going to cause some strife. We're going to cause some division. We're going to get upset. We're going to divide. We're going to say people, well, they're not as spiritual as I am. Oh, they must not be saved. Then we begin to do all these little things. And in reality, we're causing these jealousies and these strifes among the church. And Paul says clearly in verse number 3, we are carnal. We're walking as men. We're approaching ministry in a human mindset if we're not careful. Now, when this occurs, we're simply walking humanly. But as Paul mentioned in chapter 1 and even into chapter 2, when we are transformed by the cross, and he brings this up in chapter 1. Remember, we talked about those variety of things about how the cross of Christ is foolishness and all those things that we discussed about the power of the cross and the power of salvation and how the Holy Spirit can come in and change our lives and help us to grow. All of those things that Paul is saying, he says, our human way doesn't match with that. And so here we are, these Corinthians have accepted the Lord, they have this church, they're having this ministry, but yet they're trying to approach it from a human standpoint. And all these problems are beginning to occur as a result. So there is really an evident gap. I put a little semi-picture up here. There's a gap between the new creature and yet how they were living or walking as Christians in the church. How they were serving. It was humanly. And Paul's saying, why are we going back to serving humanly, to living humanly, to focusing on me when I'm a new creature in Christ? There's a gap there. And the Lord wants us to continue in His Word to do what? Close this. Because we want this to be all in Christ, in His Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be saying, well, yes, the Lord saved me, great, wonderful, but then I'm going to serve in a humanly way that doesn't match what Christ has done for me. And it takes, perhaps with the Corinthians, it took Paul really kind of writing some strong letters to them, preaching to them, helping them to get into God's Word, to grow into those things. I was reading one commentary that kind of likened it to, what God has made us as a new creation versus how many times we think. And if we're honest about it, really look into your mind and in your heart and contemplate about how you think about things. Many times it's humanly. We approach things humanly. What's this going to do for me? What's it not going to do for me? How is this going to make me feel? And all those things. And if we're not careful, we fall into those traps. The more we are in the Word and the more we are growing, this gap begins to close. God wants us not to just stay where we are. He wants us to grow in Him. I encourage you, today's Sunday, tomorrow's the start of a new work week and all those things. What are we going to do this week to grow in the Lord? Continue to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe you'll be driving to work and just think about the things of the Lord. Or maybe you're spending time in your devotions and thinking about the things. Well, allow the Lord to encourage you. Allow Him to say, here's some things that we can draw closer to Him on. But many times our minds are human. And we're just thinking about all the things we have to do, which, we all have a lot of things to do. But what about thinking in a spiritual way? Again, not some elite, I'm better than everybody else way. But in, Lord, I want to grow in you. There was a metaphor that I read about, you come out of if you're in a very, very cold situation. We never was super cold in North Carolina. I know some people lived way up in the frozen tundras and all these things. And I hear these stories of negative 30 something degrees. Is that accurate, Kristen? You've had some pretty cold winters up there. People go out and they throw the water up into the air and it freezes and all that kind of stuff. I was like, man, that's cold. I'm a sissy when it comes to that. I'm not going to go and move where Chris grew up in Maine and freeze myself to death. Not happening. I don't like that too much. Every now and then I can handle it, But it's like if you were out there and you were just absolutely frozen and, you feel really cold and you come into a room where there's heat, it's warm. You know that you're in that sphere and that atmosphere of warmth, but it takes you a little while to thaw out sometimes, doesn't it? We're in the sphere of Christ. But we've got some human in us, don't we? We do. And we're foolish to think that we don't. And the Lord, it wants to chip away, just chip away, Close that gap. Be what the Lord wants us to be. Now, we'll never get there until, as Brother Lynn said, we'll see Christ as He is, because we're going to be like Him. That's a wonderful day to look forward to be fully and completely conformed to the image of Christ. But He wants us to grow, conform more each day. Each day, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to draw closer to Him, to enjoy the Christian life, to enjoy all the things the Lord's done for us, His love for us and His grace and His mercy that is poured upon us. And yes, even difficult times come up in our lives, and it's hard to go through those things. But to keep our eyes on the Lord and to grow in Him, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our heart and grow into the Lord. This human is becoming less and less and less, and we begin to serve more and more of the Lord in that spiritual way that He wants us to be. Now, in verse number 4, the Corinthians had made it human-centered based on the ministry of individuals. Now, this is what they had done. This jealousy and this strife had made it human-centered, but based on individuals. They had taken sides. Look at verse 4. One saith, I am of Paul. Another one, I am of Apollos. And Paul's very clear. He says, look, that's human. It's humanly to try to divide the church of God's people around personalities. It's human. I was reading one commentator that said he called it personality cults. And I tell you, if we're not careful, I'm just going to be honest, I've seen that a lot in a lot of American churches. And our pastors talked about it some too, where, you know, the preacher's up here on a pedestal. Remember what Peter said, right? The guy would stand here and the people would come up and kiss his feet. I mean, that's insanity. But sometimes we kind of think that mindset if we're not careful. We put the person, we get enamored with human. We are enamored with human. And we just, oh, wow. And if we're all not, I mean, I remember when I was telling you about this in Sunday school, the way I grew up, I really believe it was kind of tending toward that personality cult type thing. And when people would come in and preach, they would just laud them like they were the greatest people ever. And we'd all be lined up with our Bibles. We wanted all these men to sign our Bibles and things. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But I'm telling you what it did to me, at least as a young kid, it kind of gave me this personality mindset that, ooh, you know, that's the great so-and-so, and you know, we're just never going to be spiritual enough to be like them. And, oh, there's the Apollos over there, and we're never going to be that level. And then the people in the Apollos group are looking down on the Paul group and vice versa. And we create this personality cult if we're not careful. And I believe a lot of times, even in our churches in America, they've kind of gone down this road in some situations. And Paul is trying to bring out a fact, and we're going to look at it for the rest of the chapter because he's very strong about it. It's not a personality ministry. It is the Lord's ministry. It is the Lord's church. It is the body of Christ. And oh, we put our human thinking on it, and we look at it through our human lens, and we begin to divide. Oh, that person's not like me. Oh, over there. And then this one's not. Oh, over here. And like I said in Sunday school, we're the only one. We got light like none other on the planet Earth, and everybody else is wrong. I'm telling you, that's personality. That's human thinking. It's the body of Christ. Now, I wanted to put this quote up. I thought it was very good. The danger for the church then and now has been to make too much of specific leaders and specific styles. The lesson for leaders is that too high a personal profile, which substitutes too much personal history and personal style for what? Gospel content. It can sidetrack followers into taking sides, even if this was far from the original intention. The point of that quote is this. When we focus on the human, it's almost like we take the gospel and God's word and just kind of hide it under here a little bit. We want to, oh, look at the great man said this and all those kind of things. I've been appreciative of what I've heard here. And, you know, our pastor tells us many times, you know, don't believe me. Go home and check it out. You ever heard him say that from the pulpit? Go check it out. You know, it's like, oh, we could look at the history of cults and all those things. We don't have time to get into that. But I'm telling you, people just get enamored with the human, and the gospel goes to the side, and the followers are sidetracked, and then they take sides on different things. That's not the ministry of the church that the Lord intended. That's not the body of Christ. That is the division, and we've seen a lot of that happen in history. If we're not careful, that thinking can come even into our mindsets. Now, the rest of the chapter, Paul is going to discuss this ministry of the church and how this jealousy and strife can affect it. But he's going to use three different metaphors to describe the Lord's work. I'm just going to put them up and introduce them. Our time is almost gone. And then over the next several times that we meet together with this, we're going to go through these different metaphors that Paul brings out to describe this is the Lord's work. Put them up quickly. The first one in verses 6 through 9 is that it is God's field. He talks about planting in verse number 6 and planting and watering. And he that planteth and watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And you know what we get worried about? We get worried about what somebody else is doing and what their reward should be. Paul's like, no. Every man shall receive. He's accountable to the Lord for what he does. You're accountable for what you do. You serve what God has called you to do. If he's called you to plant, you go plant. If he's called you to water, you go water. And leave it with the Lord and allow him to give the increase. Why? Because it's God's field. It's God's field. God owns the field. God seeks the growth and the fruit. And God even assigns his ministers, you and I, to care and nurture for his field. But if we look at it humanly, we get that jealousy kind of going in, and we think, well, you know, I can take care of this on my own. I'll do it my own way. And we're going to look at this next time we meet. The second one is the middle of the chapter, verses 9 through 15. We're very familiar with these verses. It's God's building. He talks about the foundation that's been laid, and he talks about being a wise master builder in verse number 10, and building on that and so forth, and no other foundation can be laid except for Christ, and what's being built on that foundation. And the point is, as he begins to go through that particular section, is that it is a community together, this church, this local body of believers, and then in the bigger picture of things, the body of Christ. It's God's building. But if we think humanly, we're going to begin to build it with human ways and do this and or the religious ways that we've been talking about or the traditions, and we have our own different things, then we set those up and everything is judged by what we think rather than by what God's Word says. And then the last one is at the end of the chapter, verses 16 and 17. It's God's temple. Now this one we have to stop and think for a minute now. I'll just quickly introduce it. Verse 16, know you not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Which means the Spirit of God dwells in me as a believer and in you and you and you and everybody that's a believer. And so when I go out in my human ways and I begin to divide and have strife and jealousy against another believer, it is almost like a sacrilegious sin against those with the Holy Spirit. Just like what I have. Who do I think I am? God's graciously saved me and given me His Spirit. And He's done it for you and everybody that's accepted Christ. But I sit back and think, well, I'm going to do things my way. And I'm going to be the one, and you're the Paul group. You're wrong and I'm right. And wait a minute now. It's God's temple. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And if any man destroy the temple of God, in this context, how are they destroying it? By division, by strife, by jealousy, by human ways of carnality, that we're the ones that are right, and that group's and so forth. He says, God will destroy that, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And we're going to get into these three areas, because if we're not careful, we lose sight so quickly about what's the first thing. God's, God's, and God's. I appreciate what our pastor said this morning, and we're going to get to that eventually in Sunday school, if I get there in time, that I talked about as far as creation and why we're here. God doesn't need me to do His work. Now, wait a minute. He doesn't need me. He existed before you were created. And we think, well, I've got it going on. Now, hold on. It's God's field. It's God's building. It's God's temple. And He's graciously saved us from our sin and given us a purpose in life and given up His Holy Spirit so we can understand more about Him and love Him for what He's done for us and grow in the fear of the Lord and the respect of the Lord and the reverential awe and just amazement of what God is and what He's done. and we can be used in His field, in His building, in His temple. That's what the Lord wants for us. But if we get in there with our human ways, if we get in there and think, well, I'm going to do it. I know exactly what I'm doing. We're this and that and the other, and we put everything and we take things that really aren't in the Bible, but we act like they are. And that's human. That's human. And we forget sight of this. You know, God's field, it's all over the world. It's all over the world. You can go, and as pastors traveled, I've traveled, you go anywhere in the world, and you know what you find there? The church. God's people. And they're serving, doing the works for the Lord, ministering with the right heart, and it's amazing that you're united to them immediately because you all have something, the Holy Spirit of God. And let's keep our focus on not a carnal approach to the church, not a human approach, but this God-centric, Christ-centric approach. Father, just thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can study and learn so much from Your Scripture. Lord, we are so human-minded so many times. Father, forgive us. We think we've got the answers. We think we know everything there is to know. We fail to listen and study Your Word and allow Your Holy Spirit to work in us. Father, I just ask that You would root out this human thinking. Help us through Your Holy Spirit that You've given us to have more and more of Your Word, more and more conformed to the image of Christ until that day comes that we are with You for all of eternity. We can worship You, Lord, for eternity. Be in Your presence, even though we're sinful and we're declared to be righteous. Lord, it's just amazing to think about those things. So, Father, help us in the things that You've called us to do and in our daily lives to be able to think through the lens of Your Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, and deliver us from our fleshly human thinking. In Christ's name I pray, amen.